From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
With a rich family legacy stretching from the first African-American president of Mohawk College to contemporary educators and activists who have traveled the world, my guest today has inherited a passion for service. She believes in connecting people of different cultures. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and today on The Journey, I'm joined by the Deputy Director of the Howard University Ralph Bunche International Affairs Center, Ms. Tania Hope Navas. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I want to start with your family history. Obviously, being connected to the first African-American president of Morehouse College has to be quite a humbling, but I'm sure a major source of pride. Tell me what that is like in terms of how it has shaped your family legacy.
It is very humbling. I didn't know this story until much later in life, so it shaped me kind of in a very discreet way. But it was only probably when I was in college when I actually realized who my great-grandfather was and what he had done. So from that point on, I just started reading about him and his wife, who is not to be forgotten in this conversation either. And then what I have been doing and what I have been interested became very obvious to me that it was in my DNA from a very long time ago. So
John Hope, who was the first African American president of Morehouse College and also later of Atlanta University, which is now known as Clark Atlanta today, is someone who obviously has a history and a legacy that's larger than life. But you just pointed out that his wife obviously was also an instrumental part of, you know, that legacy. Tell me a little bit about his wife.
Lugenia Burns Hope, my great-grandmother, was a social worker. She started organizations, the Atlanta Neighborhood Union, I believe, in Atlanta, that worked with African-Americans, Jewish community, social services and so forth, and she was very active in the community. And I actually, when I got here, Dr. Crew, the dean of the School of Social Work, found out and wrote me an email saying that she still teaches my great-grandmother in her history and philosophy of social work class. Yeah. So I thought that was very interesting.
So clearly, with that background, your genetic makeup is one that probably, as you said earlier, prepared you for your new role as deputy director of the Bunche Center. Tell me a little bit about what you see going forward for the Bunche Center as it plays a role in the core of the university's international program.
I think the Bunche Center has so much untapped potential, and I think that it can and should be the center, the hub of all things international at Howard. Bringing together all of the international activities that all of the different schools are involved in, which are many and broad, and just providing kind of a central support for everything that the university is doing around the world.
Now, with that in mind, apart from your good genetic makeup, you obviously had to apply yourself as well to get to this point. How many languages do you speak?
I speak Spanish and Portuguese.
Okay, and that has come about from your family background, or?
Actually, no, not at all. Nobody in my family speaks Spanish or Portuguese. I had the good fortune to go to DC public schools when Spanish was taught from first grade. So I took Spanish every year of my academic career from first grade till I graduated college. And in college, as a Latin American studies major, I figured Brazil's the largest country in Latin America. Portuguese is the official language. I should know it to be more whole in my study of Latin America. So I learned Portuguese in college.
So I hope the chancellor of the DC public school system hears this, but clearly that had a major impact on what you do. Prior to joining us here, you've held several different roles that certainly has taken you around the world. Tell us a little bit about being the executive director of the Baobab Fund for Racial Equity North America.
Baobab Fund for Racial Equity is a Brazilian foundation that was created with support from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation a few years ago. And the Kellogg Foundation gave the Baobab Fund a challenge to raise $25 million to support Afro-Brazilian civil society organizations in Brazil. They would match that $25 million dollar for dollar to create a $50 million endowment in Brazil to support those organizations. I was brought on to kind of support that fundraising effort from the United States. All of the rest of the staff is in Brazil. And so we were working on doing that, raising visibility about the organization and about the work that we supported in Brazil.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is the Deputy Director of the Ralph Bunche International Affairs Center here at Howard University, Tonia Navas. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, to switch gears a bit, you recently attended a conference in Berlin, Germany, that looked at study abroad and especially focusing on the minorities and their capacity to participate. What do you see as the most significant barriers to study abroad today?
The most significant barriers for study abroad for students of color are primarily financial. Those programs are cost prohibitive in most circumstances. There's an element of fear in the unknown. A lot of students have not traveled outside of the United States, unfortunately, and it takes a little bit more encouragement to make that happen. One of the other biggest barriers is academic limitations, and in certain fields, students not being able to go abroad because they are required to take certain courses on campus, mostly happening in the STEM fields. So those are the three main ones.
Now, and what are your plans to ensure that students can overcome those barriers? And what are some of the things that you got from that conference that, you know, have influenced the plans that you have for study abroad here at Howard University?
I think one of the main things that needs to happen here and that we've started doing already is engaging with students much earlier. And students here kind of realize in their junior year, oh, I can go abroad. I should go abroad. Let me go figure out how I can do that. But really, students need to know from the application process, from the whole admissions process, that that is something that Howard University values and supports and encourages. And they need to learn about it from the very beginning and all the way through. Because students can go abroad in their sophomore or junior year. So the earlier they know about it, the better they can plan. They can plan their academic schedule and make sure that they have enough electives to be able to go abroad in regardless of the field of study that they're in.
Now, you mentioned financial barriers. Tell us about tuition. Do they pay the same tuition they pay here, or do they pay the tuition at the institution to where they're going to study?
No, they pay Howard tuition. Any financial aid or scholarships that are applicable to their tuition here at Howard are also applicable to the study abroad programs. If the study abroad program is more expensive than the tuition that they pay, however, they have to figure out a way to make up that difference, and vice versa if it's not as expensive. So,
now, you recently hosted the Cuban ambassador to the United States at the Bunche Center. Tell me a little bit about that and about the activity around Cuba coming out of the Bunche Center.
So when I first got here, we decided that we wanted to have a theme at the Bunche Center for the academic year. And given that the relationship between the United States and Cuba has shifted recently, we thought that it would be an ideal time to focus on Cuba, but focus on Cuba beyond what we just hear on the mainstream media. So we reached out to the Cuban embassy and invited the ambassador to launch our Cuba series. So we have a Cuba series called Cuba Beyond the Headlines. And he inaugurated that series in October with a talk on Cuba's foreign policy around the world, not just its relationship with the United States.
And what can we expect in terms of the other programming that would come out throughout the rest of the academic year with respect to the Cuba focus?
So far we've had our second session focused on education in Cuba, which I shared a video that I made when I was in graduate school when I traveled to Cuba and looked at education in Cuba. We also featured Dr. Mercedes Ebanks, who's a professor in the School of Education, who is Cuban-American. Next, we have a session on religion in Cuba, and we're going to be touching on U.S.-Cuban foreign policy, specifically race in Cuba, women in Cuba, and sustainable tourism in Cuba.
All sound very interesting, very rich diversity of topics. When did you visit Cuba, and what was it like at that time that you visited?
I was there in 2002. For 10 days with my graduate school program. And it was amazing. It was on my bucket list to get to Cuba while Fidel Castro was still in power, and I did that. And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience. I wish I had more time. I hope to go back soon. I don't know when, but soon. And it was eye-opening. It gave me a lot to think about.
And you say that because of the social structures that existed at the time as a result of Fidel Castro's, as a result of the structures that he had put in place, or you say that because of the people that you met?
All of the above. I think that I was there during the National Book Festival, which was a huge book festival in an old fort in Havana. And it was amazing, the people that came out to support that. But we had opportunity to go to elementary schools, universities, special education schools, the literacy museum. And it struck me how, it just struck me all of the programs that were put in place to provide services for people. And I think here in the United States, we tend to only see Cuba one way, and being there and actually seeing how some of the decisions that had been made had affected, actually literally affected people and changed their lives was eye-opening. Obviously, everything is not perfect. Nowhere is it perfect, but I think a lot could be learned.
Okay. As we wrap, tell us a little bit about the statistics of how many Howard students currently study abroad. And where would you like to see that opportunity? Because I'm assuming that every single student cannot go. We have 10,000 students. And in our undergrad campus, we have 6,800. But tell us how many students currently go and what your goal is in terms of that study abroad experience.
So through the Bunch Center, up until now, we've only organized programs for semester or year-long students who want to go for a semester or for a year-long program. And in the last year and a half, including the semester that we're currently in, only 99 students, undergraduate students, have gone abroad for a semester or a year-long program. A lot of students, though, have gone abroad through their schools, quite a large number, actually. And so part of the thing that I would like to do is centralize that more so that we have a better accounting of who's going abroad, for how long, where they're going, and what they're studying. But ideally, I would at least double that 99 in the next year and a half. That's my goal.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Tania Navas, the Deputy Director of the Ralph Bunch International Affairs Center at Howard University. And I have to say that the international experience for students at Howard University will expand. It's a journey that all students should participate in throughout their matriculation here. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.